This is Luke. You are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and we will be back in just one second.
That'd be fun, but we'll see what
comes up. Let's make that happen. So, pop some headphones on when you're ready, And I'm just going to start out by saying hello, everyone. My name is Luke. You are listening to a show called Elephant Loaf, where I interview a different person each and every week. Here we have special guest Elias on. Elias, introduce yourself however you would like.
Well, yeah, I guess this is my first time on air. I would say I'm not speaking in hyperbole when I say this is a true honor. I'm looking around at a radio setup that I've maybe envisioned my whole life is just a dream, but maybe the dream's coming true nowadays.
Oh.
Or in this very November 13th.
Yeah. Have you dreamed about being on radio before?
I guess I've always seen radio stations. I'm from Maine, so there's this, it's in this old sort of mill building in Brunswick, which I guess is right by the Bowdoin campus, but there's this, whenever we went to this restaurant, there was this radio setup. Whenever I saw the guy on air, I was always like, oh my gosh, what's going on here?
Like, can you watch while you were eating?
I wish.
Okay.
It was simply, I think the restaurant was on the third floor. His was maybe on like the first floor. So right as you walked in, and sometimes he'd be there late nights, like 11.
Neat.
Who knows?
Very neat. Was it the one guy on air all the time, or did it swap? You know, is it his channel, or was it like a company or anything like that?
Yeah. I think, wait, and I stopped hearing him in the headphones. Is that a problem?
You can fiddle with this guy. I'm not going to do it for you because it can get loud quick, but just turn it up or down as you need.
Perfect.
You should be able to hear yourself and me.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Just to give you some background noise, I'm going to keep talking a little bit. It's actually a pretty nice winter day out. Sun's out. It is... could pull up the weather and tell you a little bit about that, but I think it's going to be a nice bright and sunny day. And yeah, I'm happy to hear more about this radio station whenever you're ready.
Oh yeah, big time. Okay, yeah, we've got the audio adjusted. But yeah, I would say whenever I think it was a consistent guy, and he just kind of looked like, I never really knew the content in which he was broadcasting, but it was just kind of the thought of like, you know, this is his life. He drives in. Who knows how much he prepares for when he's on air, if he just wings it, but it seemed like a cool profession to me.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, it has been very, very neat in my experience, and this is definitely a really cool space. You've got graffiti on the ceiling, on all of the walls in here, and we're just, you know, it's a good day for it as well, because we got a nice bright sunlight coming in through the windows, surrounded by vinyls, and just kind of chatting.
Big time. Yeah, I would say, you know, we're just looking out at the humble streets of Medford, Mass. We've even got a view of the good old, or we can't even see the JCC from here, but
no.
We can infer that it's to our left.
Tufts' newest academic building, the Joyce Cummings Center, is just right over there.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. And I hear, is it the only one that's open 24 hours, or is that not true?
I was not aware it was open 24 hours. I don't think the other buildings are. I know like Tisch is open until 3 in the morning, something like that. If 3 a.m. to 7 a.m. it's closed, I think.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me. And I know some people have slept overnight in it, but I think that's more of a we don't want to wake them up situation.
Yeah.
Have you been in the JCC late at night?
I don't know if I've ever been in there after midnight.
Yeah.
I won't lie, but... I do have a vivid memory of that's the first Tufts building I ever officially walked in, because before my freshman year, that's where we checked in, and it's like, I remember being like, whoa,
yeah,
big leagues.
Definitely. It feels as impressive as it is, and I think there aren't a lot of buildings like that on Tufts, maybe, that are just like, you can really like, whoa, this is a college and this is an important place.
Big time. Yeah. And do you know when it was constructed?
This is bad because it's happened while I'm here. I believe it finished last year is the first year, I feel like, that it has been a building that we could use.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's,
like, first full year.
Dang. Okay, so it might have opened midway.
Midway through my sophomore year, I think.
Okay.
And I'm a senior now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
They had been working on it for my freshman and sophomore year, for sure.
Wow, and yeah, what was life pre-JCC, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, for sure. It was... it was COVID, right? So testing twice a week, I would say it's that everyone is always in the JCC. Mm-hmm. And like, say the SEC is almost a little bit less congested than it used to be. Mm-hmm. Not much. It's still a very popular spot.
Yeah.
But I think with like the closing of Kindleven, which is the cafe in our science and engineering complex,
mm-hmm.
and then it's reopening this year. In my opinion, some people have forgotten about it a little bit because we've had lines that go out and around the corner in there before, and I just don't see that as much anymore.
Yeah, big time. And yeah, is that siren picking up from the outside, or is that just a soundtrack?
That's picked up from the outside. Oh, so
we're living in the real world.
We are living in the real world. These windows are not soundproof, and I've had rain come through on air, and just anything you can hear outside is part of this.
Yeah, some crazy stories. It's an organic addition to this. Absolutely. Very radio station. But yeah, I guess as a senior, I'm guessing you're not on any meal plan.
I have the 80 swipe meal plan.
Okay, so I guess my question would be, and I guess my answer might be, I would assume it to be no, but would you ever use one of those swipes on a Kindleven smoothie, or is that not something you're partaking in?
Oh yeah, actually. So at this cafe, you can, for almost the entirety of one breakfast swipe, you can get a smoothie, which does feel like a bit of a waste sometimes, but like 80 swipes, not a lot. That's like, I think it's like one meal for 4 days every week if you divide it out of this over the semester.
Yep.
So the first month or so, I just cooked. And then just like at home, bought groceries, did that whole thing.
Big time.
Halfway through the semester, I checked and I had 70 of my 80 left.
Ooh.
And so I kind of can burn through them right now. And one great way to do that is check out the new smoothies.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
And would you say you have a fave?
It's only been around once that I've been there. You're interviewing me. This is incredible. It's only been around once that I've been there, but the strawberry almond sunset actually was like super pleasant.
Big time.
Mango sunrise behind that for me.
Okay, wow. Because mango sunrise and strawberry almond sunset, I didn't even realize there was a difference between the two.
No, they're just very slight, and it's not much.
Are they both the same color?
They're very similar.
Yeah.
Mango sunrise is a bit of like a darker red, and then the strawberry sunset is actually like almost a yellow, but then with red strawberry syrup at the bottom, which is part of the reason why I liked it.
Yeah, big time. Yeah. And did you mix that up or did you sip that straight?
I mixed it up as best as I could. But it was sitting down there pretty good.
There's some density there.
Do you have a favorite of the smoothies?
I guess. Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think the strawberry, or what am I saying? Strawberries are just in my mind after thinking about the dense syrup, I guess.
Yeah.
But I gotta, boom, zoom into another taste of mine. But I think, the chocolate, peanut butter, protein, it's hard because that's maybe a sought-after smoothie because you don't see it around. I think that's usually the first to go.
Yeah.
So usually if I'm walking through, I'm thinking, okay, let me get some bang for my buck calorie-wise and just get some protein in. But I don't know if I enjoy the flavor the most.
It's more of like a let's get it before it's gone sort of thought.
Yeah, it's almost the prestige of it is its appeal.
Definitely.
But obviously with good function and taste. But I think a tropical, I guess, that my thing with the Kindleven smoothies is I sometimes get them out of like obligation.
Oh, okay.
I don't even...
To yourself? To your friends? Like...
I don't even know. It's the thought of like, okay, this is cool and hopefully healthy that I can get a smoothie right now, but how much do I actually enjoy this?
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that question is sometimes answered with an enthusiastic yes, and other times it's just indifferent.
Yeah.
It's like I'm just drinking something right now that I used my swipe on.
Can you do a smoothie as a full meal? Because for me, true. Like, I need to have, even if it's just something small, something solid, to, like, really look at that as a meal. But some people just like smoothie, that's their breakfast, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think it, at home, I feel like my kind of go-to, say I was in a rush, was just chuck a lot of things in a blender, boom. But I do think there's an element of liquid food, maybe. It just, it doesn't seem to leave you with the same satisfaction that just a solid, nice, homey breakfast would. But I'm hoping that also the Kindleman smoothies are healthy.
Yeah, I like to think they are.
Like Tropicale, I think Mango Sunrise might be pure sugar.
This is true.
But who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was grown up told that fruits are healthy, and now in college, I think I'm getting a lot of just the, like, fruit is natural sugar, which is maybe a little bit better than artificial sugar. It's still sugar, you know?
Definitely, yeah, because I guess I've never fully formed or even thought about how I feel regarding sugar.
Okay.
Especially, like, natural / artificial. Like, I do feel like my sugar intake has gone up a lot in college, probably mainly due to the dining hall drinks.
Yeah.
It's like at home, I was almost never drinking fruit juice. I mean, it was a special treat, let me put
it
that way. Yeah. Which I loved when I had, but now you can go into the dining hall, and I'm not, I don't think I've almost ever gotten soda in Duick or Carm.
Yeah, but that's impressive.
Yeah, big time. I guess just because if there was root beer, I'd be hitting that a lot more often. Let me just put it that
yes,
way.
Yes, sir.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. Glad we can relate on that. But yeah, I would say, do you happen to remember the tractor juices in Carm?
Were those the juices they had last year that were a mix of like they kind of felt bougie to me, where it was
definitely,
like,
it was a cool dispenser.
Yep. Your average juice, I feel like, was two different fruits and then like
time.
A spice of some kind, you know?
Big time. You're hitting the nail on
it. It'd be like a ginger lemon, like ginger peach lemonade or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there was maybe, there was like hibiscus, and then there was like red berry blast or something like that. There was peach. There was like tangerine chai. That's not
definitely
right, but like that's just, so those bad boys, I was like, oh, I'm, when I'm in Carm, I'm getting that.
Yep.
Yet lo and behold, 28 grams of sugar per serving. If you have two cups of those in a lunch, boom. Is that 50? Is that like 100% of your, I don't know the numbers, but it's the thought of like, how detrimental is that to one's health, assuming you're active?
Okay.
Like, I don't know. It's just, it's a thought of like, sugar. I guess I'd love to just hear some scientific input as to the dangers that say two cups of tractor a day, would that make the doctor come your way or keep the doctor away?
Especially with what we've been told about apples.
Yeah. Exactly. And I wonder if apples are confirmed to keep the doctor away, or if that's just a myth.
I've heard it's the fiber that's the best part of them, and maybe of fruit in general, but I couldn't tell you. I've got a major sweet tooth, no matter what it is.
Big time.
Yeah. But do you have a favorite root beer brand? Because I know you're a Mainer, and I just wanted to take the opportunity to say that Main Root is, I think, the best root beer I've ever had.
Big time. Yeah, I think, have you ever had Captain Eli's?
Yeah, absolutely.
Woo.
Yep.
Boom. Yeah, I think, honestly,
because that's what they've generally got at like a flatbread pizza company, which is...
Ooh, are you a big flatbread fan?
Oh, yeah. New England pizza chain, for sure.
Wait, and I guess I've never asked you, where are you from?
So, at this point, I've spent most of my life in Massachusetts, but I grew up in New Mexico for about 8 years in the middle there.
Wow. Where in Mexico? New Mexico?
Albuquerque.
Okay, cool. That's the capital, right?
It's the biggest city, but Santa Fe is the capital.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Arizona is the capital.
I think Phoenix is the capital of Arizona.
Because I always mess up Santa Fe with being in Arizona, honestly.
Oh, real.
Who knows? Yeah. But that's just a fault in American geography right there.
Yeah.
You hate to see it. But I think Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wait. There was a lot of thoughts going through my head. But yeah, on the New Mexico question, my parents lived there. I don't know for how many years. I think.
Whoa.
A few years. Yeah, multiple years. My dad worked in the Indian Health Service, or I guess probably more politically correct, maybe Native American Health Service. I don't know whether it's still referred to the IHS today. Who knows? But that was in Gallup, New Mexico. And then my sister, who I'm the middle child of three, older sister, younger brother, she's 24 right now, I think. She's living out in San Francisco, but she was actually born in New Mexico.
Whoa.
But moved to Maine when she was like one.
Yeah.
So maybe you guys could relate on being born in New Mexico. You weren't born
in New Mexico. It's a whole thing. But yeah. But I've lived there a whole bunch of years.
And so do you have a vivid memory of New Mexico?
I do, yeah. That's cool. Because I was there between the ages of like 5 and 13. So that was the first part of middle school. That was all of elementary school for me. You know, that's where I started Boy Scouts. And so there are all these like specific moments in there that really like tie it down.
Exactly. And yeah, what would you say about the climate in New Mexico? Were you a fan?
I'm a huge fan. Huge fan. It's hot, but where we were at elevation, so it was cool at night, cool in the winter. We got snow. We had enough snow to ski when I lived there. Some friends who live there now tell me that's starting to change a little bit, which is pretty sad.
Definitely.
But it is just gorgeous. Great sunsets. Much like Maine. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, oh, it's stunning. And like the Red Rock, I just love that. I guess, what even is that region of the country called?
Like the Southwest, I would
say. Southwest, yeah. That good Southwest, just Red Rock, as far as the eye can see views.
Yeah.
And where'd you ski?
In Taos and Angel Fire, a couple mountains near Santa Fe, and Albuquerque's got a mountain, but we only actually ever went to it once.
Yeah, because Taos is definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah. You ski?
Yeah. All right. Big skier.
So, where do you go generally? Up here.
So, yeah, basically, to pull this back to New Mexico, a quick little travel story.
Sure.
I was going to say a travel trip for alliteration, but
maybe, bring me there.
Maybe that doesn't even make sense.
I mean, a trip of words, then. Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah. Big time, exactly. But, so basically, it was my freshman year in high school. We flew into Albuquerque.
Yeah.
Drove to Gallup, got in some New Mexico vibes. We actually went to, there's this Navajo, because that's the tribe that's located in Gallup. I think it's the Navajo Nation. And they had this like sort of market that I think was pretty classic when my mom and dad were there. So they're like, we need to take you to it. And it was super cool just seeing like where they used to live, just kind of the basis of like,
totally.
I think that was like the first years of their marriage as well, so it was super cool. And that, and then from there on, we went to Telluride, Colorado. So that was, I don't know how. Have you ever been to Telluride?
I have once on a family trip.
Oh,
yeah,
just amazing memories. And a part of me, just speaking of Telluride, makes me want to clip on the bindings right now and just go hit the slopes. Am I right?
It was incredible. It's this tiny little ski town, and it just nestled in the mountains. There's no reason to like you need a car to get there, but once you're there, you can walk anywhere you need to go, and you're always just real close to a ski lift. It's great. I remember it having very good food. We were generally either hotel or motel people growing up, but that was my first experience, like, renting a level of someone's house out, which was a really cool, like, unique
Airbnb vibe.
That sort of situation.
Big time,
yeah.
Big time. Yeah. Because did you by any chance go to a Thai place?
Not that I remember. I think we got, like, burgers while we were there.
And how long were you there?
A handful of days, maybe 3 or 4.
Okay, cool. And you skied all those days?
Yeah.
And would you call yourself a big skier?
Not a big skier. I skied a lot when I lived in New Mexico.
Yeah.
And I've skied a handful of times since then. So it's been once in college and maybe once or twice in middle and high school when I was back in Massachusetts.
Yeah, big time. And this is a super quick side note, but
sure.
Wait, is there any way to see how many people are listening?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's see. Let's get these statistics pulled up.
So we got 16 by my count right now.
Oh, my. Yeah. Well, to the 16 people listening, I just want to give a wholehearted shout out that
absolutely.
I'm guessing there's a slim chance that they're here to maybe hear this specific show. Maybe they're just tuning in for vibes.
I think they could just be passing through, but they might be here for the show.
And maybe we can track the sort of graph as our show progresses.
Yeah. I'll check back in.
Yeah, big time. But, you know, just to those 16 people, who knows whether some are sitting idly by or actually listening, but we just want to say, or I guess I just want to say thanks.
Yeah. No.
Maybe even we.
We. I would upgrade that to a we, and I would say a very wholehearted thanks from us for listening. And also to anyone who's going to jump on a recording later. I know I've got some friends that can't tune in right now, but listen later on
in
the week.
That's a true honor, because, you know, there's a specialness to realizing that the very conversation you're having feels so intimate and one-on-one in this setting, yet it could be being taken in by, at this point, 16 people.
Yeah.
If by the end of the show it's 3,000, who knows?
Truly, who's to say?
Exactly.
When I make it big and thousands of people go back to listen to these original ones. Yeah.
Big time. Yeah. But yeah, it is a crazy thought that it's like, this radio setting might not be that different than some of the most popular radio shows in the world.
I really don't think it is. This has got all of the basics and a couple of kind of extra bells and whistles that you need to have a good show. So.
Big time. And it's just the thought of, like, you know, it's a special, unique experience. It's my first time doing this in a official radio setting, and it feels cool to have a conversation that, yeah, will only be documented for 2 weeks on the WMFO site, but it has the ability to be listened into varying degrees of interest. Who knows? But it's fun.
It's really neat.
Big time.
It's really neat.
It's a little surreal.
Oh, yeah. Another hallmark of radio, of course, is music.
Yes.
I might say that we could throw it to a song. And
I'd
take
be vibing with that.
A little break and then come right back to the conversation.
Big time.
You got anything you want to listen to?
Maybe a good Sparks Fly Vibe.
Sure.
Sparks Fly Vibe by Taylor Swift.
Taylor's version, I'm assuming.
I guess, yeah.
Or the original.
Maybe for nostalgic purposes, the original.
All right.
Hate to step on anyone's toes out there.
No worries at all. We will be back in just a second.
You're the kind of reckless that you send me running. it's ever changing. Like any true love, it drives you crazy, but you know you wouldn't change anything, anything, anything. Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. It's been waiting for you. Welcome to New York. Welcome to New York. It's a new soundtrack. I could dance to this beat. The lights
All right, and we are back on air. We had a caller come in and talk to us for a little bit in there, and he recommended Macho Macho by Blink, which is the song that just played, and I recommend his show, which is Highly Recommended, is the title, on Wednesdays from 7 to 9 p.m. Listen to Max, that's when he's on. Yeah.
And I guess I cannot say I've had the pleasure of listening to that, but I can only imagine the vibes that go on.
This week, I think I will. Just, you know?
For the vibes.
For the vibes.
Just to support our friend Max, who, yeah, I just want to say thanks for calling in. It's been a vibrant addition to this first radio experience.
Absolutely. I'm glad we were able to share that with Elias, and I'm glad I got some practice picking up a phone on air, which is something that's a rare occurrence for me, but I'm always happy to do.
So. Exactly. So yeah, thank you to Max. You're a real one.
Huge shout out. Absolutely. Let's jump back into questions.
Mm-hmm.
When did you fall down the Taylor Swift rabbit hole? Like, has that always been a part of your life? Has that emerged in the past couple of years?
Yeah, so I feel like my first album ever listened to, I think I can say with relative confidence, was probably Sparks Fly.
Okay.
Just because my sister was a big Taylor Swift fan. She saw her back when she went to Gillette in, like, must have been, like, 2012 or something. Like,
yeah.
Way back then. My sister was in, like, middle school or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I think she's just always been, like, a part of our life. Like, we bought, like, the CDs, listened to them in the car.
Definitely.
And then, yeah, from then on, now I think my brother takes the cake for biggest Taylor Swift fan.
Nice.
He is, I would say, a very knowledgeable individual on the subject. I think he, what's super impressive about him is, like, I don't know if you've ever, played that game where it's, like, you're going against someone and you, like, first one to guess the song.
Yep.
So basically, with Taylor Swift, like, I know some Taylor Swift's pretty well. I think, like, Taylor Swift albums pretty well. I feel like Red Taylor's version, I was like, I've listened to this hella Tommy. Let me challenge you. And maybe I got a few on him, but he still took me down with ease. But I think it's one of those things that he, for almost any Taylor Swift album, I'd maybe not put money on him, but maybe put money on him.
Yeah.
Against just a wide subset of the population, if you were to play that game. He's just very into. He saw her in Gillette this summer. My sister saw her in San Francisco. I am maybe the odd man, black sheep out, who hasn't seen her. So I don't know what that says about me.
Were those both Eras Tour concerts?
Yes.
Yeah. That's just impressive to me to be able to perform for that long, let alone for that number of people all across the country and the world.
My
you know?
Thought is, because I guess her shows would go Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Or I don't know. Do you know how many?
Off the top of my head, I cannot say that I do.
Neither. But my thought was just like 3 hours of singing 3 days in a row.
Yep.
Is insane that your vocal cords can maintain the same quality.
Definitely.
But then luckily she had the week off, but, you know, shout out to T-Swift.
Recharge, yeah.
Exactly.
Huge shout out, for sure.
Big time.
Let's see, I'm just glancing at some other stuff you put on here. You have something you've found interesting or been obsessed with recently that you'd like to go on a tangent about? I know we've done a little about that earlier in the show, so no pressure. Got a lot of other questions, but
I guess obsessed is like, I feel like maybe the way my brain works is I can get like obsessed in very maybe niche things and get really amped on them and then kind of just have them be like a sizzle in the pot.
Sure.
Fade out.
Yeah.
I feel like if I were to encapsulate my most recent obsession, I think it would need to be Fortnite.
Sure. Sure,
and
sure.
I think the reason behind that is I never had a console growing up. I was never much of a gamer. I always was kind of like, oh, well, that's kind of a waste of time. Look at all my friends. They're playing, like people in my grade. They're playing, like, they're gaming to, like, 12, 1 a, like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. on a Friday night. And that's kind of how they sometimes hung out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was always almost like, sort of a world I never entered but was maybe always curious of.
Mm-hmm.
And now the fact that in my suite in Latin Way, Suite 460, shout out.
Huge shout out.
Big time. Yeah, there's a console that I have never had the pleasure of ever having. So now I'm like getting better at controlling a character is also so satisfying. It's like, oh, and it gets the blood flowing for sure.
Definitely.
So I guess for better or worse, I guess this is maybe in a debate to be had. Say when it comes to e-gaming.
Okay.
Where, I guess, is e-gaming redundant? E-sports, maybe.
E-sports, maybe. Gaming. Yeah. Video gaming.
Yeah. Definitely. Where? I guess I'd be curious on your opinion. We've had this debate before with some friends. Like, where is the line of productivity drawn?
Like, interesting.
Can video games be defined as productive?
Ooh.
What even do you define as productive?
I think that's the bigger question because it took me a while to come around to this, but I see them as recreational media the same way I look at a book maybe as a little bit more intellectual, maybe, but like same category in my brain. It's especially right now in my life, it's a thing like a TV show, like a falling down a YouTube rabbit hole or something like that, where it's I've got 30 minutes, I've got 2 hours today that I want to just relax for. What do I turn to, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It is really hard, like, categorizing different forms of leisure. Because it's I wonder, Fortnite? Yeah. It can be stimulating if you're very strategic about it. And it can be fun to talk about things in a strategic way. Like, okay, what should we do? All right, I've got this. Like, what should I do here? Like, you make a lot of small analytical decisions. A book maybe works. I guess I'd love just a scientific overview as to what parts of your brain a video game might work that might be productive or detrimental.
Sure.
And I wonder, like, also if they're saying, like, screens. Because I think a big thing growing up was, like, screen time.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
I wonder, how detrimental are screens to your brain? Such how engaging can they be? Because I feel like that's the way of the future to some degree. It's like,
I think you've hit the core of it, which, for me, it is the engagement is both the pro and the con, right? I think everyone, especially with TikTok, with YouTube Shorts, Instagram Reels, whatever your flavor of choice is, it's that reduction in attention span and almost like, as someone that for a long time looked into this sort of thing, they are not actually addictive or chemically addictive, I guess, but there's that addictive sort of quality of wanting to engage more and more, you know? And so engagement is maybe harmful in those ways, but there are a ton of awesome things that then allows a video game to do that no other medium kind of can.
Definitely.
Loads of stories and a couple of scientific studies about people using video games to show themselves that they can overcome challenges. Because with Mario, with anything like that, you can learn that you've got agency in life when you know you can overcome whatever's in front of you. And if you fail, you can try again. And a game is going to let you do that, no matter what it is.
Definitely. Yeah, it's... And I guess I feel like it maybe speaks to, like, everything in moderation. Like, if you're ripping Fort and not doing your homework and getting a bunch of... Yeah, NHIs, or that was a high school thing. But, like, if you're not getting done what you need to get done, as in maybe your obligations...
Mm-hmm.
That, I think it's key to think, like, maybe the happiness that the video game caused you in the first place is going to be taken away because you didn't prepare for those things in life that you just need to do. But I think, I think, as you said, in the same genre of leisure, if you are looking at how to spend your time and your desire is, I want to play this game, and maybe you've gotten... Like, I think it's different if you're neglecting things to play the game versus True. If you just want to play. I think if you want to play and you've done the things you need to do for the day and it provides you enjoyment, I feel like, yeah, that can't maybe be... like, and also maybe can be an outlet of community, like playing with people.
Absolutely. And it was a huge way that I connected with my friends through high school. Absolutely.
Definitely. So, yeah, would you have a gaming history, would you say?
I think so, yeah. My screen time was also very limited until really middle school. And then in high school, a lot of my friends played video games pretty strongly, quite a bit. And, you know, it never got in the way of academics for me. It was never... It's never the end-all, be-all, but it was always a good way to have fun, and it was something that I would do on a Friday night or a Thursday or a Saturday and just kind of, like, make those connections happen.
Definitely, yeah. And do you feel like it's shaped... Because I think I'm almost just getting... I'm like, oh, Fortnite. This is fun. Because it's like I've literally never used an Xbox controller in, like, a dexterous way.
Sure.
But now it's like, even just thinking about, like, wow.
There's something satisfying to it. Yeah.
And even, like, this is maybe getting a little, like, existential or extrapolating a bit, but it's, like, the design that went into that controller. Like, there's so much thought into the ergonomics. And I think I'm probably majoring in engineering psychology, and just the thought of, like, an efficient, like, something is that can achieve as much as an Xbox controller, and the fact that also, like, people assigned... tasks two different buttons to make this for building makes the most sense, like it's a very intricate process. But yeah, I guess for you, do you feel like, would you say video games has given you a lot in life?
I think so, yeah. But I think that Beats, this drumming club that we're in, has also that's also given me a lot. I think it's given me a lot, but
it's not the be-all, end-all.
It's not the be-all, end-all. Clubs have given me a lot. They're strategically, tactically. I tried fencing for a while, and those felt very similar to me at times. You know, I've gotten great community through games. I've gotten great community through a number of other things in my life, and I also just kind of think it's everything in moderation.
Definitely,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm a big believer in that statement.
Got a very quick public service announcement, and then we can start to wrap things up, maybe, for the hour.
Yeah, for sure.
But just as autumn is starting to fade and winter is starting to begin, I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about autumn outdoor exercise.
Yep.
Autumn brings some of the most beautiful days of the year to New England. Get outside today if you haven't. It's gorgeous. If you haven't been getting all the exercises you should, then now is the perfect time to get outside, walk, run, or ride a bike. Use your feet to go places instead of your car. Enjoy the fall colors, breathe the fresh air, reduce stress, and improve your health. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
Boom.
Boom.
Agreement with that message for sure.
Absolutely. Did some hiking this weekend. It was very fun.
Oh, valid. Yeah. Where at?
Lonesome Lake up by the lodge. New Hampshire.
Did you go up to the lodge?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Wow, and did you go up with people, or were you just...
Yeah, with a whole bunch of friends.
Wow,
yeah.
That's so fun. Was it a good show out, like showing in the lodge, at the lodge?
Yeah, it was caretaker's weekend, so a whole bunch of new people sort of getting trained. We weren't part of that, but we did get to see it, and it looked very productive.
Because you were a caretaker at the lodge?
No. There was some negotiation done to get us there. But
yeah.
How was your weekend?
Solid. I had frisbee. Then I guess we had...
Tournament, game, practice. Practices. Yeah.
Yeah. So I recently transitioned from rowing to frisbee, which has been very fun. It's just, been very fun to, like, experience a new sport. And I feel like that competitive aspect is something I love. And I think also, we had Beats Formal. That was a super good vibe.
That was really good Friday night. Yeah.
Formal. And then watched the Sarah Band show.
Awesome.
Absolutely insane, just like mind-blowing talent.
I've heard fantastic things about that group.
Oh, it's crazy. I think it's so insane. So many girls on campus are just like mind-boggling talent. It just gives you like such an appreciation for the Tufts community at large and just like who we're a part of. Like who's amongst us to some degree. And then
definitely. Yeah. When you see performance group, you really see like how many different talented people there are here. You know,
in so many wide variety of activities.
Definitely. Well, start thinking of a song that you want to go out on as I tell the audience that they have been listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. Elias, thank you so much for coming this week. It was a lot of fun having you on.
No, big time. I enjoyed it a ton. Thanks for your engaging questions. And I mean, although we didn't touch on maybe a lot of the structured conversations, I feel like it's a testament to just the free flow.
Yeah.
Magic that a conversation and an engaging conversation can bring.
Absolutely. I think we still learned a lot about each other and had a good moment with people on air with some music in the studio. It was good.
And did we ever shout out that fact about the brew crew?
So we will go into a song in a second, but pre-Kendallvin, pre-SEC, Max, whose show is on Wednesday, who we shouted out earlier, let us know that in Curtis Hall on the first floor in the multi-purpose room, there was once a cafe called Brown and Brew, and it was quite a delightful little place from what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Some history.
There you go. You have a song you'd like to listen to as the show kind of wraps up?
Yeah, maybe Horse with No Name.
Sure. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. We will catch you next week.
On the first part of the journey, I was looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. There was sand and hills and rings. The first thing I met was a fly with a buzz and the sky with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can remember your name, 'cause there ain't no one for to give you no pain. La la. Skin began to turn red. After 3 days in the desert fun, I was looking at a riverbed. And the story it told of a river that flowed made me sad to think it was dead. You see, I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out.